Now, for the thousands in attendance and the millions around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Now tune into the greatest
African African hip hop blog podcast.
I is play guy boss African hip hop blog handy.
Yes, y'all. Welcome back to the African Hip Hop Blog Podcast. It's none other than your boy Phil Chard, beaming to you live from an undisclosed location in the heart of the motherland that is Africa. I know I've been gone a while, and I can explain. I've been traveling a lot, and when you travel, some of the devices you use tend to get damaged. They tend to become a little unreliable, and as a result, it took a while for me to recover some of the data that I'd been compiling on my travels, and I apologize for that, but we are back, we're better than ever, and I promise that we shall be more consistent going forward. That's my solemn promise, guys, going forward. Hold me to this. Cut this clip out, send it to me on Twitter, whatever it may be. I promise you, we're going to be more consistent. That being said, we've had a lot going on in African hip-hop. I think leading off, let's talk about the MTV Mamas, or actually the MTV Amas. But you know what I'm talking about. They will be going on later this month, and the nominees have just been announced. They recently had their last event in Lagos, Nigeria, where they announced part two of the list of nominees, and it's getting pretty interesting. There's a whole host of nominees. Head on over to africanhhb.com to see the full list of nominees. But some of the big talking points were the best hip-hop category. A lot of omissions there, and also best video and best song. So my biggest headache was Kiss Daniel's Mama. In my opinion, that is the song of the year. Without a shadow of a doubt, that has to be one of the best songs in Africa to come out in the last 12 months, and it's not even nominated in anything. Not in video of the year, not in song of the year, not in most catchy single from West Africa. I don't know the categories, you know. But it's just not represented, and that was a major shock to me. Also not nominated was Malik Berry, Control. I don't know, that might be just one of my favorite songs, but that is another song that shut it down in the past 12 months for me, man. I really dug that. Shout out to my boy Kyle Lewis, who got a nod for Jump, though he really could have got a nomination for a whole host of videos this year. Man, he's been killing it. The Coolie China video for Money, the other video did with Ricky Rick for Fusek. Even like Ricky's been killing it with his videos, man. Siluko Dini, another amazing video. I think maybe they didn't want to nominate him 2 years in a row, but guys, you've got to give credit is due. And when it comes to the visuals, Ricky Rick has not let us down yet. So head on over to African HHB. Get involved in the discussion. Let us know what you think. But yeah, I think we might even have to organize a little roundtable discussion around this. But there were a whole host of omissions that raised some eyebrows, you know. But I guess when you become this big, you can't please everyone. And this is a continental level award show. But yeah, man. Anyway, moving right along. DJ Slick, South Africa's DJ Slick, is set to drop his debut album, Injayam, Volume 1, on October 14th. For those of you that follow me on Twitter, you notice that I've been talking a little about this because there seemed a little snafu over at Slick's label or his management team, whoever's doing his distribution, because Bay 2, which is a song that he has not released yet, has been out on YouTube for a week now, and Slick didn't even know about it. If you go over to Shazam actually has the whole track list up and ready for play. So it's a little peculiar. Maybe they've sorted that issue out, but October 14th is the date you can officially get his full debut album. So guys, look out for that. And also, this past weekend was Homecoming Africa, the first edition of the Homecoming Africa event here in Pretoria, South Africa. I was lucky enough to attend, where we were graced by the likes of OT Genasis, from Coco fame, of course, and Cutting It, and Wizkid. The star boy was in South Africa, and he delivered an incredible performance, man. That performance flew by.
the performance he delivers with his band, the stage presence he has, the way he interacts with the crowd, it's second to none, man. It was truly jaw-dropping. He doesn't have the strongest of live vocals, but he makes up for it with presence, and the band did an amazing job, man. You get so drawn, like I literally got so drawn into the performance, I didn't even realize an hour had passed. That's how good it was. So shout out to Wizkid, man. He shut it down this weekend. And I got a post up on the blog where I basically discuss the significance of this, because South Africa has not really been a very welcoming nation to other African acts. You know, there have been a few that have been able to take off here and there, but not consistently. Just as recently as last year at the One Africa Fest, the attendance was ridiculously poor for such a massive lineup, and it caught me off guard especially. So it's great to see that not only was the crowd into it, they knew the words, they were really hyped to see Wizkid. And I think it's a sign of things to come, man. And shout out to Wizkid, man. He deserves it, because he's had an incredible 2016. And after signing to Sony, it looks like he's going to have a even bigger 2017. And there's still a few more months left in this year, so we'll see what happens there. Speaking of signing to Sony, DeVito has finally announced that his much delayed, highly anticipated EP, Son of Mercy, which is to be the placeholder for Baddest, we still don't know when Baddest is dropping, will be dropping 21 October. So it's going to be a bumper month. And DeVito also released the video for, hey, I don't know if I can pronounce this right, but it's Gabge Oshi. Basically means no rubbish. It's quite ironic because I'm not really feeling the song. Like, this feels like DeVito's first fumble in a long time, and it's kind of disheartening that he's fumbling now when all eyes are on him. But yeah, I wasn't feeling it. I was speaking to a couple of Nigerian peeps as well. They weren't feeling it either. So it's a little odd. It's a little weird. Hopefully he can pick it back up with the rest of the songs in the project. There's a song with Nasty C on that project that I'm looking forward to hearing called Coolest Kid in Africa. So we look out for that. Speaking of Nasty C, Nasty C dropped his debut album Bad Day in somewhat controversial fashion. For those of you that don't know, the album was supposed to be released on September 21st, if I'm not mistaken. It got delayed, then he finally dropped it on Friday, but he dropped it for free instead of the paid, and then there was an issue with sample clearances. I basically break down the whole issue on African HHB, and that article kind of got a lot of traction, got a lot of people talking, and I actually got invited to Africa Business Radio over the weekend to discuss this particular issue, because I felt that Nasty dropped the ball. So let me play a little excerpt from that interview, and then you guys can get a rough idea as to what my sentiments were. But be sure to head on over to africanhhb.com for the full article to get the full understanding of the message I was trying to convey.
I used to play guy boss African hip hop blog handy.
But today you mentioned Nasty C, of course, and he released Bad Hair. When did he release it?
It was last week, a week ago today.
A week ago today, and there was a lot of controversy around the release. He announced on Thursday, the 22nd, that the album would be delayed because of clearance issues with some of the samples on his album. And then on Friday evening, the album was free, was available on Data Host for free, and literally had about, what, 250,000 downloads?
At the time, the stream went down, because it went down on Sunday evening when they put out the legitimate copy. It was 250,000 streams on AudioMac. But that doesn't account for the other sites, because there are other blogs that download and then re-upload it onto their platforms. So it could be multiples of that. And that's only album streams. We don't know how many people actually downloaded the project. So it could even be like the amount of people that actually heard it. It could be twice or three times as much.
Okay, so break it down for us. What are the implications of that move?
Well, basically, I put an article up last week, Sunday, breaking it down. And I was basically saying, based off the achievement of this album, based off what he'd done before, and based off the appeal that he had, it's a negative effect on the industry. Mm-hmm. Because what you've basically told a new generation of fans, and Nasty C is a 19-year-old artist, he appeals mainly to fans that are his age group, which is young teenagers. Teenagers that are just coming into money, teenagers that are just understanding music and falling in love with music for the first time. And Nasty C is going to be that artist 20 years from now, when there's a golden oldies mix. Nasty C is going to be the artists that parents are like, oh my gosh, I remember when this dropped. And you're basically teaching these new generation of fans that an album that everyone wanted, an album that was a crossover and mass appeal album, one of the biggest hip-hop albums to ever drop in South Africa, is worth $0. So if Nasty C does that, what happens when MC such and such, who's new on the market but has some sort of appeal, says, guys, give me 100 rand for my CD? And the artists are like, why? The fans, rather, are like, why should I pay you 100 rand when I've got Nasty C who gave me his album for free? And he endorsed it. And he said, guys, here's my album for free. Enjoy.
I don't know if I don't know if I see it that way. I mean, I completely understand where he was coming from in terms of, I have committed to a date. I've worked with a lot of artists, and a lot of them are very, they have a very strong bond with their fan base. Mm-hmm. So they never want to disappoint them. I had an artist once who was mastering his music on the day that he was going to release, and he just refused to move the date because he had committed to it and his fans were waiting for it. And like Yoel was saying before, that these days it's more about connecting with your fan base more than selling to your fan base, because music has become about generating revenue from other sources outside of sales revenue. So is it really that big of a deal?
Yeah, it still is. And you're always very correct in that it's connecting. And I can understand why Nasty C did not want to disappoint his fans. And I applaud him for that. But you've got to look at what led up to that point. Because if you've set a date, that means you've got to turn in your album at a certain date. That means if it's going to digital stores, it's got to be submitted at least 2 weeks beforehand. That means your sample clearance should be the first thing on the list. Yeah. Like, after you've done this, guys, what if we sampled one needs to be cleared? So clearly there was an administrative problem in producing this album. So that's mistake number one. Then you've got several parties involved. And as I discussed in the article, Nasty C is distributing via Universal Music. So Universal Music are distributing based off the premise that this album has a certain level of demand.
Yeah.
That demand will not stay if you've released the album for free. It works in the same industry as, like you were saying, if I say, guys, I've got Omo, and people in the neighborhood are like, yo, we really want to wash our clothes. We're going to buy this washing powder. And then the day before, someone else comes and gives the same washing powder to the same people that want it for free. When I pitch up the next day and I'm like, okay, guys, here's the Omo, pay this amount, they're going to be like, why would I do that? I have it for free. Only a few people who really want to support me and want me to succeed will be like, you know what, Phil, I've got this Omo for free, but I'm going to buy a second box from you.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be 100% of the market.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done. So you've violated those deals. You've then put yourself at risk because there's a sample from Grover Washington that failed to be cleared that he released anyway for free. Even if it's a free release, as we've seen with several examples, even if you release a song for free and it's got an uncleared sample, if that artist wants to, they can take you to court. So why put yourself in that position? All you really have to do, if you wanted to release it for free, then at the beginning of the process, say, guys, I'm going to release an album for free, and then you can purchase it. Don't change on a whim to make sure that you meet your deadline.
What's the difference with saying I'm going to release the album for free and then I'm going to sell it?
Because then the partners that you have, i.e. Universal, aren't blindsided by your decision.
Were they blindsided, though? Don't you think there was a conversation leading up to it where he said, guys, if this thing is not cleared by Friday, I'm releasing the album? I mean, shouldn't Universal and Mabala Noise be working hard to make sure that they got clearances?
Well, as I said, there was a mistake somewhere along the line. And
you can't blame the artist, though.
I'm speculating. I can blame the artist for making a bad business decision, because this is a bad business decision. As an artist, your main goal is to, first of all, create a fan base and then monetize that fan base.
Yeah.
If you're leaving money on the table, that's money you're going to need down the line. And if you look at the pie chart of an artist's revenue streams, in the beginning, the biggest source of revenue is going to be show bookings, and then a smaller chunk of that pie is going to be royalties and sync deals / endorsements. As their career develops, they're not going to be able to tour forever. There's going to be a point in time when Nasty's 50 years old and his music isn't resonating with his fans as much as it is, and he's going to be touring less, and he's going to have to rely on royalty checks to pay those bills. And royalty checks do not come from Audio or Mac. Royalty checks do not come from Data File Host. And if he's not doing that, he's really shooting himself in the foot. He's dipping into his own retirement fund.
He's dipping into his own retirement fund.
That really what it is. Like, royalties are an artist's retirement fund.
He's 19 years old. And look, I love the album. What do you think about the album before?
I've heard it once. I've just had a busy week. I loved it. And that's what made me even more angry.
Mm.
Because, as I'd said, hip-hop in South Africa, outside of, let's say, Heads and Tails by Pro, lyrical rappers have not had that type of commercial demand up until Nasty C.
Yeah.
So Nasty C was in a position to do something incredibly special here. He was in a position to, we don't even know, but he could have gone platinum in 2 months.
He could have.
He really could have set the benchmark and moved the culture forward in a very big way. But we can't quantify these figures anymore because, as I said, he released it for free download. So we don't know how many downloads it generated. Mm. We don't know how many people it reached.
Mm.
He can't then use that as a selling point and a calling card to say to a brand, hey guys, I went triple platinum. Because
it might still, you know. I mean,
it still might, but no matter what it sells, it's going to sell less than it could have had it been released that way.
Yeah, that's true.
So no matter how many albums it sells, we're still going to be like, fam, but imagine how many more you could have sold.
Well, if he gets to 1 million, maybe we won't really care. I mean, I love this album, and I think my excuse for him will be that this album, as great as it is, I can't wait to hear what Nasty's going to come up with, because it does sound like a 19-year-old MC. As much as the quality is amazing, but it does sound like a 19-year-old, and I can't wait to see what he's going to say when he's 25. And I think that the demand for Nasty is only going to grow. So there is still opportunity for us to experience that slide of sales on his next album.
Easy play guy, boss African hip hop blog Hande.
So yes, that was me on Africa Business Radio. And let me just make things very, very clear from the jump. I have absolutely nothing against Nasty C. I love Nasty C. I'm actually an incredible fan of Nasty C. I love his work. I stand in awe at what that kid has been able to accomplish, at that kid's talent, his appeal. He in my opinion, Nasty C is Neo. And I'm not even overstating that. I really do feel that this kid, if his talent is nurtured, if he approaches his career the right way, he could really be the game changer in African hip hop in an incredible, credible way. So I wish him absolutely nothing but the best. But at the same time, I also can't sit back when I feel a mistake is being made and not say anything. So that there's definitely not an ounce of malice in my heart. I wish that kid nothing but the best. He's an incredible talent. I hope that he's got the right people in his corner guiding him, because I look forward to hearing his music for a long, long, long time to come. On that note, on another album dropping soon, Maraza is going to be dropping his album on October 21 as well, titled Blind. Yo, it's a bumper season right now, guys. Anati dropped his album. Bad Hair dropped. Reminisce dropped. Pataran King dropped, Malik Berry just dropped, Omar Sterling / Paddy just dropped. These projects are coming in thick and fast. 10 Diamond finally dropped his album, A Few Good Poems. Man, there is so much music being released right now, it's ridiculous. Solo's Dreams Be Plenty dropped, I'm going to be dropping a review for that this week. EL's Badri dropped. Yo, if you're an African hip-hop fan, you are living in wonderful times. There is a plethora of content to enjoy, guys. A plethora of content to enjoy right now. And be sure to check out African HHB for the full rundown as to what's popping there. And before I ramble on too long, guys, let's get straight into the interview. So this week, two weeks, Pete Otto got hold of me and he was like, yo, Phil, I got a surprise that I want to clue you in on. So I drove all the way to Pretoria from Joburg to sit down with him. During that interview, he basically let loose that Devil's Playground is dropping end of October. Yes, the much anticipated album, Devil's Playground, is finally dropping end of October. And I cannot wait, man. I'm excited. I'm amped. So I had a conversation with Pete Otto as to what took it so long, why he's dropping this project independently, the new sounds he experimented with. You know, we had a very in-depth, very detailed discussion. I loved it. In the background, you might hear someone shouting. That'll be none other than Envey
who was having a rant. Someone pissed him off, and Faye was having none of it. So if you hear someone shouting in the background, that's Invay letting someone have it. That's a warning to you guys, man. Don't mess with Invay, man. He will cuss you out. So without further ado, let's cut over to my interview with P.O.
I is play guy, boss African Hip Hop Blog, Hande.
It's your boy Phil from the African Hip Hop Blog out here in Pretoria. I've traveled many a train, many a plane, many a taxi, and walked many miles to meet this rapper.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's been, what, 4 years now? No, yeah, four years.
Roughly, yeah.
A few Black and Blue projects.
Yes, sir.
A number of singles.
Yes, sir.
Waiting for a special announcement. And he called me up and he said, yo, Phil, I've got something for you. I got some heat that the streets have been clamoring for. None other than your boy, P.O.
Hold up, fam.
Poet the Sonnet.
This guy wants to go old school. What up, fam? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you?
I'm easy. Shout out to African Hip Hop Blog. You know what I mean? Respect to you guys and what you do. All love and respect.
Much appreciated, man.
Yes, sir.
So what have you been up to recently, man? We've been noticing the singles.
Yes, sir.
Soaked in Bleach is on repeat right now, man.
Thank you, my brother. Don't forget about the videos, nigga. The videos, too. The videos. Yeah, the videos, dog. No doubt. Nah, I've been working, man. You know, like, you know, you definitely know my history, you know. Like, going back 4 or 5 years, I've been talking. This is the Devil's Playground project that I've been talking about for a minute. And finally, I just want to, you know, make that a statement that, you know, the album finally has a date.
Oh, word?
The album is done. And we're releasing the album October 30th. You heard it here first. October 30th. Yeah! Hit it!
All right.
Yes, sir.
So what can the fans expect? I mean, people have been waiting. We've been waiting.
I know, man. I know. Like, I just, first and foremost, I just want to shout out to, you know, the real, you know, there's a difference between casual fans. I love the casual fans too. And the real, authentic, groundwork fans that have been there since I Tried, been there since the Blue Bunny mixtape, been there since Mind Over Matter, been there since, you know what I mean? Like, way back. I think this project is more for them than anybody else. Like I said, I appreciate the people that, you know, caught on to P.O. now with the Move Overs and the Burns and the, you know, Mochicos or whatever. But
Yeah.
This project has taken, you know, when you make the music that I kind of that I make, it takes so much from you because it's introspective, and it comes from inside. It's not just me going out there and trying to sound cool, or jump onto the latest trend. You know what I mean? Okay. It's me telling real stories about what happened in my life and what I'm experiencing. The album is called The Devil's Playground, and it will be available October 30th. For the people out there that have been waiting for it. So God bless you.
Okay, word. So what can fans expect? Those that have been riding with you. And
yes, sir.
And the thing is, like, I think, especially in my mind as a fan, like, the outlook or the expectations that for Devil Playground has changed so much because your music has evolved.
It has.
While we've been waiting for the project.
It has. But one thing that hasn't evolved and hasn't changed is the fact that I am still an introspective artist. I've always been about, be vulnerable behind the microphone. Tell your story. Don't hold back. I think, you know, one of the biggest things that we lack in SA, yes, there are rappers that portray it there. I'm not saying I'm the only one. But one of the biggest things that we lack is a balance between cats are not, they're not willing to be vulnerable or tell their story and just be, everybody's cool all the time. You can't be cool all the time. We're human beings. Mm-hmm. Human beings feel. And we're living in a third world country. So many people are suffering. They're struggling. They're going through so much pain. You know what I mean? I ain't mad at, you know, niggas popping bottles and whatever and toasting up and having fun and turning up. That shit is also necessary. But at the same time, we also need the balance. So this album is going to provide that balance. It's my story, my ups and downs. There's going to be a lot of fuck yous. Mm. There's going to be a lot of I'm sorries. There's going to be a lot of just reflection. In a nutshell, it's me, man, completely. No holds barred, you know what I mean?
Okay.
18 songs.
All right. 18?
18 songs,
wow,
my brother.
Wow. Of those 18 on the track list, how many have you heard already?
How many have you?
Have the fans heard already?
I think probably 6 they've heard. I'm sure they've heard Burn. Mm-hmm, they've heard Forgive 'Em. They've heard This Can Be Life. They've heard Soaked in Bleach. Mm. They've heard, roughly four or five songs.
Okay. Hey, dub. And of course,
the first time I ever came across you was with my man Jay Lawless.
Straight Jacket Jay Lawless.
Yeah. How involved is Jay Lawless on this project, man?
He was very, like, basically the whole mixing process was him.
Oh, where?
Majority of the album, he was mixing it. And he's also involved on one song called I Don't Care.
Produced
by Silas. It's an incredible song. I love it. But unfortunately, right now, he's at the States. He's cooking. Well, unfortunately for me, but fortunately for him. Because we should be working and putting together some more work. But he's over there right now and he's cooking that side. But as soon as we come and he touches back down, we're going to do another Black and Blue.
Oh, word. Okay, that's dope.
Actually, you know, series.
Yeah, I actually remember, I forget his name, his manager.
Yes, sir.
Jeez, I'm spacing on his name, man. Sorry. I'll remember it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had been talking for a while about how like they had made a plan with Universal to take him
over to the States. So, they're cooking that side, man. They're cooking that side. Like, great things are coming. Definitely great things are coming. He's putting together some things and people should look out. I just hope that, you know, because SA didn't really grab him at the time where they needed to grab him. I just hope that when he's out there and he's, you know, he fucks up everything out there. Now they don't be like, hey, we always showed you love. You know what I mean? But let's just keep it real. But he's out there representing SA, you know, regardless, because he's a South African kid and he's a beast. You know, shout out to Straight Jacket Jay Lawless.
All right, man, that's dope. Yeah, but sometimes you need that. You need that outside recognition before people
True story. Happens a lot of times.
Especially as a white rapper, man. Hey, there's nothing tougher than being a white rapper in South Africa.
It's tough.
Man.
It's tough. It's very tough. You know what I mean? But, like, we here to overcome the challenges, man. You know, we here to overcome. I mean, like, this album is, I've literally been, I know I'm not trying to be like on some detox shit. I literally been talking this album since 2009.
Yeah.
Since 2009. And the reason why I've never changed, I've seen so many artists around me change the titles of their albums and go back and forth. I have not changed the title of the album for a specific reason, because there's a story that I'm trying to tell. And I know that as soon as the album hits the shelves and the album is out there, people are going to start judging me and coming me like, yo, man, yo, you're some sort of devil worshiper. Because I get that. People in South Africa, we're a conservative country. So when people see that title or they see that word, they already automatically, you know what I mean? Hey, this guy is praising the devil. It's not even about that. I'm just trying to tell a story about my environment, being a man from the Eastern Cape that migrated to Cap City, and how I'm surviving in this environment. There's a lot of beautiful people in this environment. There's a lot of angels. Like I said, on Soaked in Bleach, just an angel with a broken wing. There's a lot of angels in this industry, but at the end of the day, the industry is twisted.
All right.
But we push, we survive, we do what we do for the people and for everybody out there that wants to listen to the music and is inspired by the music. Just to try and inspire hope.
Yeah, well, this is exciting news for me, man.
Thank you, family.
Like, you know, I've been complaining.
You have been complaining.
We're wasting our time. Like, where's that album, nigga?
You have been complaining.
Tired of these singles, fam. Where's this album?
True story. I can't even lie.
Speaking of, so distribution-wise, is this going to be under Universal or are you guys doing this independent?
This is definitely going to be an independent project. Because taking nothing away from Universal, all love to them, but... You know, I'm a very, very anal artist in terms of how I want things to be done. And sometimes when a label is involved, they want to, because they have a vision. Mm-hmm. And they have, the, you know, a certain vision that they want to push. I know, like, for instance, man, an album called The Devil's Playground in the commercial field in South Africa. Like, it's kind of like, really? But I have a vision and I have a reason to take out. I have a reason of taking this album out. And calling it what I call it, and at the same time, it's creative freedom. In terms of creative freedom, I needed a lot of creative freedom, and sometimes that, you know, a label and a major and an artist can clash on that. So I just decided to go independent. You know what I mean?
All right, I get you. Yes, not to throw shots at Universal, definitely.
No, definitely not, man. Salute to everybody at Universal. It's all love, but yeah. It's just like I feel like I needed to. There were songs on this album they couldn't be down with. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't blame them, but I just needed to take this out.
The weird thing is, like, this week I've been speaking to a lot of rappers in SA since I'm in SA.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of them are rappers that used to be in Universal that I said, no, Universal just wasn't, for what I'm trying to do as a rapper, it just wasn't fitting.
Yeah, because and it's not wrong with that. It's like, it's just creative differences. It happens every time. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? It's. But at the same time, if you're an artist that has a vision, I'm not one of those artists, yo, Phil, you know, I'm not one of those artists that are just eager to just get out there and, yo, fame, lights. I make music for people that need to soak it in. You look back 10 years from now, yo, that shit meant this. Fuck. You know what I mean? It needs to represent something heavier than just popularity. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a story, man. It's almost a prophecy. It's a journey. So I couldn't expect a business fraternity to just go with what I feel as a vision.
Yeah.
So I understand where they wouldn't be able to get down with some of the songs that I put out. I mean, I put out Forgive 'Em. That's not a turn-up song. Yeah. That's... But I was doing that for in my hood, in the Eastern Cape, my province. That's one of the poorest provinces in the country. People don't have money there. You know what I mean? People are struggling. People, like, you can come through and be like, yo, I'm turning up. I got Moe. I got whatever. You know what I mean? But they don't care. They don't relate to that because they're hungry. They're starving. They need hope. And I'm not saying that everybody should do that. Everybody should inspire hope. No, that's not what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, we need to have balance. And I'm just, I knew that. So... I'm trying to tell a story with this album, and that's why it took so long for me to make.
Okay. Well,
yes, sir.
That's dope, man. But we're definitely looking forward to it.
Thank you, my bro.
That being said, like, with the recent spate of singles, especially Move Over. For me, Move Over...
I want to hear this, yo.
No, I actually, like, I'm not going to lie, the Move Over video...
Yes, sir.
That's your best video ever.
Oh, shit.
In my opinion. Like,
the remix or the original? Oh, that's original. Okay, yeah. Original. Yeah, original. Yeah.
That one, I watched that and I was like, yo, this is actually, like, I would never expect this from people. This is a dope video. This makes sense.
Thank you, fam.
And even the song.
Thank you, fam.
I think Burn was like Burn was kind of where you started going a little left. And I was like, this is a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
Yeah. Like, true. Like, a lot of like I said, the casual fans like that stuff. But a lot of my authentic real fans from day one didn't really understand what I'm doing. They didn't really like Move Over. They didn't really like Burn. They didn't really like those songs. And then as soon as I did Forgive 'Em, they're like, yes. And as soon as I did This Can't Be Life, they're like, yes. By the way, This Can't Be Life video drops this week. It's insane, man. It's insane. Like, I think it wraps up this album more than anything. Basically, if I had a title track... I would want it to be This Can't Be Life, because it just, the video itself, there's a story of what I'm saying. But you'll see it. I'm not going to talk more about it. You guys will see it and tell me what you think of the video.
Come on, man. Tell us.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, but I was saying Move Over.
Yeah.
Burn was the one I was like, left. Move Over, I understood it.
You understood
it. Because it also had that housey feel.
Yes, sir.
It was very up-tempo. It was catchy.
Yeah.
The remix had dope. Remix actually encapsulated what you were trying to do with the song, I feel.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, guys.
We're just having fun, dog. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like I said, man, I believe in being a complete artist. I am a complete artist. And I'm not gassing myself. This is not gas. I'm a complete artist. I don't believe that you're a human being. You feel different emotions. Nobody is sad all the time. Nobody is cool all the time. Nobody is mad all the time. Sometimes you want to have fun. Sometimes you're lusting. Sometimes you see a mommy like, hey, the skirt, hey, it's rough. I'm catching wreck. Sometimes you go to the club and you want to, whatever, you want to pour up. You want to have fun. Sometimes you feel shit. Sometimes you lose a parent. You know what I mean? It happens. So I just try to embody all of those emotions that human beings feel. Uh-huh. So when I did Move Over, I was in the space of, hey, I'm actually having fun right now. We're chilling. We're in the studio. I'm drunk. I was drunk on Hennessy when I did that song.
Hennessy.
So we just had fun. It's like, Books played the beat. We had fun. We spazzed. So it was just a song about having fun. Even when we did the remix, everybody was drunk. Everybody was gone. Questa, everybody was gone when we did the song. And that's a direct representation of what the song means. You know what I mean? We're just having fun. We're letting loose. Nothing much. We don't want to think right now. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you need to have a balance as an artist.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to have a balance as an artist. And that's what determines depth.
All right. Well, this is very exciting news.
Like I said, fam, sorry to cut you. But my heroes is Kurt Cobain, Tupac Shakur, Bob Dylan, Ray Phiri, Oliver Mtukudzi, guys that had real stories. You know what I mean? Yes. Even Miriam Makeba, she had songs where she like, she had fun on some songs, and some songs were real, like about the political struggle that the way they were going through. So I just don't believe in... Actually, no, I'm not going to say this because it's going to feel like I'm taking shots or it's going to sound like that, because artists are different. We're all doing different things for different reasons. Yeah. But I am speaking for myself. I feel like it's very important for an artist to be... to have variety.
Definitely.
To have variety.
And have range. All right. So, hopefully...
Yes, sir.
We get that on Devil's Playground. I cannot wait. I'm going to be hitting you
up. It's a very introspective album, though. Very, very deep album. Very... I'm like... Eish. Eish, man.
I'm going to be pressing you for that advanced copy.
Eish. I got you, fam. I got you. You know I got you. Even if you over... even if you, like, you know, out of the country, I'll send you through. You know what I mean? I got you. We got you out here.
Definitely, man.
Respect, family. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
No, man. Thank you. Thank you for the music, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, fam.
Look out for Devil's Playground.
Definitely.
Look out for the video.
Yes, sir. This week, the video is going to be up, Spanking You, actually, on MTV.
Oh,
should be this week. And Channel O, This Can Be Life, featuring Kimo Sabi. You know, he's crazy. He's doing great things right now. And the album is out October 30th. The Devil's Playground, my first offering, basically, in terms of an album, my debut album. It's sad to say that, but better late than never. It's sad to say that I've been in this industry and been in this game for so long, and I'm dropping my debut album 7 years. It's crazy. But I ain't mad, yo. I ain't mad at nobody. It's cool. It's all love. It's all love. All
right, cool. On a lighter note.
Yes, sir.
We also know you're an actor.
Yes, sir. I'll participate in such.
Yeah, why don't you, for those that don't know, what acting credits have you been involved in?
Well, first and foremost, I studied the acting at TUT. I got my diploma, so I'm a professional, actually, just by those standards. Yeah. I've done a lot of theater. Because I've been involved in so much music, I haven't given myself enough opportunity to actually go out there and attack that as I should. Mm-hmm. But I've done a few roles. I've been on Jacob's Crossing. I've been on Inkaba. I've been on... I've done a lot of theater shows and a lot of industrial theater shows as well.
Okay.
But nothing major yet, as of yet, because I haven't really given myself that chance to go out there and really grind it out fully in terms of acting. I mean, if you have two passions... one is also going to catch slack, because you have to give the other one 100%. It's impossible to give 100% to both of them.
Definitely.
So, yeah, man. But hopefully more movies will be coming out. Hopefully, God willing.
Right.
And more albums. And I just appreciate you guys for coming through and showing me love. Shout out to African Hip Hop Blog. Shout out to Phil. It's all love. I appreciate you guys, man. All
right, man.
Respect, my nigga.
Thanks a lot, man.
All love, fam.
I used to play guy, boss African Hip Hop Blog Handy.
Light a candle for the dead homies. Light a candle for the dead homies. Living in sick pain, my mind gone. Music still in my thick veins. I'm headstrong, living like a legend. I'm Cobain, my head gone. Puff on a little something, though I don't smoke. Focus on the scope, Holy Ghost through my potent tone. Impossible is dead to me, detriment to step to me. I'm destined, shit my destiny, determining my legacy. Fuck what you mean, this poetry is an outlet. Mouth flex, verbal gymnastic, my profound rap. I think I'm broken inside. But I'm a light, convince the streets that hope is alive. And when they quote in my lines, when I spoke in the rhymes, I leave an imprint of passion that grows in your heart. But still, shit is an uphill battle, but you gotta be sharp enough to cut steel, bless you. I'm just trying to be a blessed dude. Fuck stepping on stage until you send a check through. Yes, you see this blood in my eyes? I done seen pain, I'm lucky that I'm even alive. Spend a weekend in solitude to concentrate my thoughts. You congratulate a force, I decapitate a foe. Fuck living on my knees, I'm a soldier till I lay down. I got a girl who live up but stay down. So fuck the world, close to tears, finna break down. Pour a little liquor, cause my cousin in the grave now. I'm soaked in bleach, cause they oppose my speech as I approach my peak. This is supposed to be, but look, yes, nothing matters in this rap shit. Cause if it did, my rap click be mad rich. Troubled being, I snap quick, my tactics classic. But fuck it, this rap game is match fixed. Whoa. just an angel with a broken wing. I keep trying to fly back, but exposed to sin. It's the devil's playground, but we hope to win. Soaked in bleach, still the clothes that I'm always in. This art piece from artists is concrete, no conceit. Words my verse speaks and sparks peace. Yes, fuck this poverty living. We was born kings and kings be property binging. Not a part of the system, but I part with my freedom. I'm just trying to inspire y'all to push with a passion. Yes, and trying to cobain myself. I pray every day that my flow brings me wealth. My lines just overdose, I cocaine my health. I spit blaze, fucked up, I'm propane myself. Yes, it's still God bless, the God bless. But it's God who tests minds, I'm hard pressed. I swear to Christ, nobody better than me.
Yes, yes, that was my interview with P.O. And straight after that, I played you a clip from his song Soaked in Bleach, which is set to appear on his debut album, Devil's Playground. We've been waiting so long for this, man. I'm so happy. I am so excited. I cannot wait to hear this. Yes. And now we're going to change gears a little bit. Keeping in South Africa, I also got a hold of a young rapper named Zunaid Lombard, aka Lil Trix, aka Zulo, as he wants to be known from now on. He's been in the game for a bit, and he recently re-signed with African Star. And the people over there were like, yo, Phil, please come through. Please speak to this young kid. He's got a lot to say. And I was like, you know what? Let me hear what Trix has to say. It's been a while. I actually had a few questions that I had to ask him myself regarding the direction of his career and the music he's been making. We actually uncovered quite a bit. Like, he explained to me what happened when he left Blaze, why he left Blaze, why the RB dub project that he had kind of fizzled out. Also, why his music has been so inconsistent as of late. So a lot of questions that I had were answered, and I actually left that interview feeling very optimistic about this career, this kid's career direction, the potential he has. He certainly seems to be in the right direction. And as I discussed in the interview, I was a little disappointed initially before speaking to him, because the sound that's overtaking hip-hop right now is the sound that he was doing a while back. So it felt like he really had a head start on the competition, and some way, somehow, he dropped the ball. So we discussed that, and we discussed why. And it was very insightful. So I really enjoyed this conversation, this interview. So let's cut over right now to my interview with Lil Trix.
I used to play guy, boss African hip hop blog, Handy.
Welcome back. It's your boy Phil Chard out here in Joburg. And I've got myself a young, aspiring musician, producer, rapper, sometimes vocalist, creative artist. You still do graphic design, right?
Yeah, I do everything. Everything you see is me. So yeah, like artworks, all of that's still me. So yeah, you could call me just the creative in general.
Yeah. Multi-talented, multifaceted creator. Zunaid Lombard, aka yes, Lil Trix.
Yes, sir.
You good, man?
I'm good, and you, man?
I'm dope, dog.
That's
dope.
Good. That's good.
It's a long time coming, man.
It's been a while. It's actually the first time I'm actually meeting you.
Yeah. Like I said, I've been following your work for quite some time, man.
Yeah, since about 2012. Yeah, since I was on Blaze Entertainment, actually.
Yeah, I think was it before Blaze or just as you signed to Blaze?
I think it was just as I signed to Blaze, because it was from Red, Black and White, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, from that time. Yeah, definitely. So how you doing, man?
I'm all good, and you, Phil?
I'm doing good, man. That's good. So tell us about what's going on with Zunaid these days. What are his plans for 2016?
What's planned? Well, you know, this is actually the first year that I'm on African Star Communications. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I'm an artist on African Star, because I've gone way back since 2012 when I was just on Blaze Entertainment. African Star was doing Blaze's PR. Mm-hmm. So they were also doing my PR because I was on Blaze Entertainment. So me and African Star go as far back as 2012. So this year is the first time I actually have a PR company by my side. So, you know, it was just about releasing a couple of singles. And, you know, the way I work, I don't work like the same way I did my previous mixtape, Color Me Bad. It was after a couple of songs where I decided, okay, you know what? I think I have an idea. I think I'm ready to drop a full project. So dropping these couple of singles this year, it just, like, after a while, I had enough music, and I thought, you know what, I have an idea, let me work on my next project, which is the follow-up to Color Me Bad, which was 4 years ago. So this will be the next project I'm working on, will be the first project I released since 2013.
Yeah. And that's what I've noticed. I'm like, yo, when Trix first came, I think you were 19.
17.
Oh yeah, you're 17 when you first broke out. I remember you were young and were like, yo, this kid has so much potential. He's got all these songs.
Yeah.
He's a producer. He does his own artwork. And then Calling Me Bad dropped, and then you left Blaze. And then for like 2 years, it felt like you were in a
bad place.
I wouldn't say bad place, but it was just like creatively, you weren't at that like that production level.
Yeah.
Like you weren't releasing that much work. And then I remember there was that song Ashley.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the lyrics. I was like, yo, these kids. And it was like, I think the kids were like 15, 16 at the time.
No, they were 18. They were 18 at the time. No mistake.
I don't know why I thought, like, I think because the press release said, like, these are young teenage artists.
Yeah.
And I was going through, I'm reading the press release, and they're talking about running trains on a girl. I'm like, yay! this is going on in Joburg, fam!
Song is funny. Well, a lot of people don't know this, actually, but during Color Me Bad, during the time I was about to release it, I was in probably the worst point in my life, not even career, but in my life, because there was a lot of stuff happening personally, you know, like I actually started a group, RB Dub, which I kept on saying in my songs, if you noticed, and that, like, those were like my friends, and sort of we were in like a bit of a, I wouldn't call it beef, but you know, it was just, it wasn't working out. They betray me, you know, they would talk stuff about me behind my back, and then there was also some complications going on with African Star and Blaze Entertainment that sort of hurt the whole plan that we had for Color Me Bad. You know, we had so many things planned. Art magazine was gonna do something with it. We had so many things planned, and when that thing happened, I don't want to talk about it, but when that thing happened, everything just fell flat.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was doomed at that point, and I was actually going through a very hard time creatively as well, because I was hurt. I felt like, you know, I felt bad. I felt the worst point ever. So that was like December time. So 3 months after that, I dropped Color Me Bad, and obviously the plans we had for Color Me Bad fell out, you know. And then it was a case of, then I left Blaze Entertainment because Blaze wanted to focus on himself. And then, you know, it was just about getting new music. And then I actually spoke to Farah of African Star, and then she helped me, you know, we got a couple of songs, and that's when I actually came up with Hard, Wonderful, and Everyday. That was 2013. That was when I had those three singles set, ready. And only, like, we were trying to get the feature for Wonderful, because that, actually, when I met Slicker, he told me Wonderful should be your first single, you know, because this is going to blow up. You know, he loved it so much. So then it was a case of getting the feature. So, you know, I went to Toy DaLazy, actually, for the song. So I spoke to Slicker, I spoke to Farah. We tried to get Toy DaLazy for about a year. We kept on like, yo, what's Toy DaLazy saying? What they saying, you know, and it delayed. So that's why from 2013 to this year, actually, I haven't been releasing much music, because I've been, well, Wonderful was at that point where I was trying to get that song done, and then I was trying to get other features done. Like, so it was just about holding my solo music back for a while to work on myself as well, to fix up the songs, to make it perfect. And now we finally released it, and it, yeah.
Okay. Wow. RB Dub was the Red, Black, White, right?
Red, Black, and White, yes.
Yeah. Actually, I remember the group. I don't remember, like, what happened afterwards, now that I think about it.
Well, we didn't actually start it as a, like, it wasn't, I actually planned to release the RB Dub mixtape, which was myself and four others. They actually were on with me on the Red, Black, and White remix. Because Red, Black, and White was a thing I've been pushing since before the song Red, Black, and White, actually. So that was the group that we had, and it didn't work out the way I wanted it to, so that was just finished there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how old are you now, man?
I actually turned 22 last week.
22.
Yeah.
So 22 and you, it's quite a journey so far.
It's been a hectic journey. I mean, I've been through so many ups and downs that really I'm not, some things if I say, you know, I might just get in trouble for. Like, it's been really hectic, but like what people only see what you show them, you know? So people might look at it like in 2014, 2015, like, oh, this guy's not working, you know, he's not doing much, he's not even releasing music. They look at it that way, but to me, you know, I know exactly what's going on and everything. So yeah.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't say I felt you weren't working. I could definitely tell, because when Color Me Bad dropped, it had a lot of content behind that. So I could definitely see that the work ethic was there, the quality was there. Even like listening to some of the tracks, I think Seats wrote the review, but even when I listened to it, I could tell, like, you weren't exactly a lyrical rapper, but what you're good at were melodies.
yeah. and the production was, and I could definitely see like South African hip hop going in that direction.
Mm.
And now that you've explained it, I kind of understand why he fell off. And that's what my main frustration was. I was like, yeah. yo, this kid was literally at the forefront of the sound yeah. that's going on now, because the sound that's happening now is what you did back then.
Exactly. Exactly. I've been saying
with
that.
The vocoder, with the vocoder yeah. synths and the melodies and the 808s, that's the stuff you're doing back then. So my frustration was like, you were already set to take over and it didn't really happen. So now I understand why. Mm-hmm. Even like when you dropped Life, and like you had been plugging, like, yo, this is my biggest, this is gonna be my biggest song. Mm. I heard it and I was like, yeah, this sounds dope, but this isn't your sound. This kind of just sounds like Stronger 2.0.
Mm.
The song that I'm really feeling is Baddie.
Oh yeah,
that's the joint. Yeah. yeah.
Well, I mean, like, look, we do miscalculate certain things, and I did. Mm. Life actually is one of the songs I had as far back as 2010. Mm. In fact, there's a story behind Life. You know, I mean, I said it in the little snippet that I yeah. released, where I was like, we actually, because I knew the song was too similar to Stronger, so I actually thought about not using it, and I gave it to. While we tried to send it to AKA back when I was on Blaze Entertainment, and it was just about getting the sample cleared. And then nothing happened there, so I gave the beat to Pretty Ugly, who a year later told me, AKA heard the beat and he loved it. He wants to be on it. So then I ended up doing it by myself and everything. But of course, like, I miscalculated certain things. And like, I'm a lot about experimenting and trying new things because I'm a risk taker. And there aren't many risk takers right now. People are playing it safe, you know, with the whole trap era. And I just wanted to take risks with the past couple of singles, and I was experimenting. I was still learning. And the three singles that I released, which was Hard, Wonderful, and Life, I was really just experimenting with my sound. And after Life, just before Baddie, that's when I finally found my sound for the next project. Because I don't want to release another Color Me Bad. You know, I don't want people to listen to the next project and sound like, oh, this sounds like Color Me Bad. You know, it's just typical tricks or whatever. I want a brand new sound that people can... You know, they can see the growth. I mean, I was 18 when I released Call Me Bad. I'm 22 now. The songs, you need to hear a 22-year-old on the next project. Yeah. So I finally found the direction that I want to go in, and Baddie will be the first single for that project.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So when is that project dropping?
Well, I want to drop it in January, because I don't want to rush it. I like to take my time, so I'm looking at January right now. Yeah. It's called Zulo, which is the first two letters of my name and the first two letters of my surname, which is also like, I don't really like my name, Little Tricks, you know, because I was 11 when my cousin came to me. He was like, yo, no, I wasn't 11. Yeah, I was about 11. And he was like, yo, let's rap. And I was like, okay. He's like, but you need to name yourself something that's not like your name. So I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, just call yourself Little Tricks. I was like, okay. And I mean, I was young at the time, and I built my brand around this name, and changing it right now is not going to work. So, I mean, I don't really like my name, Little Chick. So I sort of want Zulo to be like that. I'll turn like the Jay-Z Jigga type of thing, you know? So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's never too late, man. You can just rebrand and start fresh.
Oh, we'll see.
All right. So you're also a producer.
Yes.
Who have you been producing for, or have you been producing for anyone else?
I'll be honest with you. I should be.
Mm-hmm.
I should be, but producing for other people is one of my weak links. It's so hard for me to produce for other people, because like, producing for myself, I know what I want, you know, and for producing for other, plus not to mention the way I work in a funny way, where I'll have a 4-bar beat that's literally two sounds. You hear the kick, the clap, and maybe like two instruments, and then I'll record an entire song on that 4 bars, just loop it, you know. And then while I'm working on the song, like, after I've recorded and everything, then I'll go back and I'll edit, I'll work on everything, I'll add a sound that sort of matches the vocals, matches what I'm talking about. So I work in that type of way. So producing a full length beat to send to an artist is something I've been struggling with, and I do want to get into producing for other people, but mainly I'm just been producing for myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that format, like, wouldn't like it work better if you got an artist to come into the studio and then you?
Yeah, but artists don't really like that. Artists don't really like to do that. They like, send me beats, you know, and then I'll play them a beat that I know, if you listen to it, you're gonna think this doesn't sound so dope. But I know that when I'm working on it, I can make it sound dope. So when I play that for them, they'll be like, okay, you know, this is fine.
Okay.
You know, they won't really like it as much as I know what it's gonna be like.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you use that same format when you're doing your hooks?
Hooks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It depends, like, on the song. Sometimes I come up with a hook before I actually come up with the beat. Like Baddie, I came up with a hook long before I came up with a beat.
Okay.
And then I'll sort of match the beat with the hook.
Okay. So like you wrote that, then you gave it to Bay, and then she did the vocals on it.
Yeah. No. I wrote it, I recorded it, and the beat wasn't dancehall at first. It wasn't dancehall. And as you said before, like, what I was making back then is what the sound is heading towards now. Mm. So I mean, like, for example, you listen to a song like Promises where I'm entirely auto-tuned and I'm not rapping really, you know, and then we listen to a song like One Time, AKA, is doing that now, and AKA is huge. So if I do something like that now, people are gonna say, you know what, now you're doing like, you're being like AKA. But I've been doing it back then, so it's nothing new to me. So when I had Baddie, I had the beat completely different. It was a hip hop beat, it wasn't dancehall. And I played it for a couple of people and they were like, One Time. I was like, oh, okay, fine. So then I had to edit it, I changed it, I was experimenting, and then I decided on the whole dancehall thing. And then I played it for Bay, and, well, I think it's B Royce actually, not Bay Royce. I played it for her, and then she actually came up with the bridge herself.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, that's weird, because right now, like, international, I believe, like, in the next 6 months to a year, it's going to be all dancehall. Yeah. Like, dancehall's coming back, because you see Major Lazer doing it, Bieber's doing it.
And I don't think any South African artist has done it yet. Or have they? I'm not too sure.
Nah, dancehall isn't big out here, though. Like, that's for South Africa, dancehall just isn't big out here. But I think also helped by, like, artists like Burna Boy.
Yeah.
And Wizkid, Burna, those guys really have heavily influenced by dancehall. It's going to help. So you might be onto something there as well. We'll see, man.
Well, hopefully. I mean, the reception for Baddie has been overwhelming compared to the reception for my other three singles, Hard, Wonderful, and Life. So, I mean, there's definitely something different with this song. I mean, you yourself said that Baddie, you like Baddie. So we'll see. I'm just trying to get the video done. It's just about getting a video for that song.
Okay.
And it's just a whole difficult process there.
And in terms of like radio play, what's Baddie doing on radio right now?
Well, we got it premiered on Fresh at 5 on 5FM, but I don't think it's been playlisted yet, which I'm not sure why. And I've been trying to push it to radio, I've been trying to push it everywhere, but we know we're on internet radios, we're on Elders FM, but I'm just trying to get to like the main ones as well, 5, Metro, and Y. I'm just trying to get it there.
All right. Then in terms of performances,
cause
as a performing artist, that's your bread and butter. Mm. What's the scene like over here?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Performing is something I've been dying to do for so long. Like, I just want to perform more. I want to be on stage more because I want to learn about that lifestyle as well more, because I haven't been performing. Mainly because I'm not really educated in how to actually go about getting performances, you know. And African Star is a PR company, so they really deal with my PR. But performances and everything, that's something that I think I should get myself. So I'm just on like talking with some guy who's gonna be my manager. We're still talking about it and everything, but hopefully once he's on board with me, we can do it, we can work together and actually get more performances so I can actually be a part of that, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, it's looking very promising.
It's actually my 9th project. Well, you see, it is technically my 9th project, but you could look at it as like my 2nd, because Color Me Bad was like my first really project I've been pushing properly online and everything, you know?
So before that, you dropped 7 mixtapes?
Yeah, but you know, the 6 before that was like, I made it, I printed it, you know, printed covers, bought CDs, and I gave it to people at school. I sold it to them for like 50 rand. So you won't find those projects anywhere other than my computer.
Oh, that's dope though.
Yeah, so it's my 9th project, and I mean, I'm born on the 9th day of the 9th month. September has 9 letters, SEPTEMBER. In 2009, I was in grade 9. I was number 9 in my class. So 9 is a very important number for me. So I felt like this, you could also call my self-titled project. Oh. And I don't want to call it a mixtape because, you know, but I'm gonna market it sort of like an EP, but it's a bit longer than an EP. But, you know, I'm just aiming to be a part of the awards as well, the South African Hip Hop Awards. I want to be a part of that. I want to aim for that next year. So next year, you know, it's just about pushing the project, Zulu.
Yeah, you're a little late for this year. Yeah.
No, this year definitely, because it's actually closed the 15th of September.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. You see, Z-U-N-A, oh no. See, had your name at 9 letters, it would have...
Yeah, it would have been dope.
But yeah, okay.
It would have been dope.
That's actually very serendipitous.
Yeah.
So you said, what's the release date for Zula?
I can't give you a date yet. Because I'm not too sure, but I'm really hoping for late January, like January 20.
No, Zulo.
Zulo, yes.
Get in your head, Zulo.
Yeah. It's actually a name that a friend of mine gave me. His name is Keats. He's actually helping me a lot with the project as well with regards to additional vocals and everything. He's also one guy that just, he has so much music, and I always tell him, release it, you know, get on the social media, and he's just making music. He has like so many songs.
Mm.
But I'm sure you'll hear him for the first time on Zulo.
Okay, that's dope. So are there going to be 9 singles on?
No, there's actually 10 songs. I'm working with 10 songs right now.
Okay.
And Bad is literally the only song that you've heard. But like Color Me Bad, even though you've heard Baddie, you probably haven't heard Baddie. Because on Zulo, Baddie's going to be completely different, you know, extended. Because I like that. I like people to actually gain a full new project, even though they've heard singles. Mm-hmm. But the song will be different. It will be extended. It will be better. Will take you to a whole different world from what you had when you listened to the single.
I dope, man. Yeah. It sounded very interesting. I'm actually a little psyched now.
Yeah, I think you'll like it, eh? I think you'll really like it, because I'm really working to make this like amazing, the best project in the world. I'm working so hard to make it perfect, because like my criteria of perfect.
All right. So right now, like, are you a full-time artist, or do you have another side hustle that's helping fund your music?
Well, I'm not a full-time artist. Well, I am a full-time artist, but I'm actually working in retail, which is going to be a dope story to tell in a couple of years. But I'm working on retail to invest in my music. So literally not a cent is going to, like, you know, buying me some new shoes or buying new clothes, or I'm not spending a cent of the money that I earn, because it's everything's going into my music.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Man, you got to believe in yourself, man.
Yeah, but I'm also a student as well. Forgot to mention.
Oh, where are you studying?
I'm studying at the Academy of Sound Engineering. I'm supposed to be... I should be graduating next year if I do pass these couple of rewrites, because I was supposed to graduate this year.
Okay. Man, how are you rewriting? This is your job.
It's not what I expected.
Really?
Sound engineering is absolutely not what I expected. It's mainly... for live sound engineers, you know, sound engineers that do sound for shows, which is nothing I want to get into. I'm an artist at the end of the day.
But it's a good skill to have. Like, when you eventually do start performing, you can tell, hey, dude, I can hear the levels aren't right, fam.
Yeah. So I'm sure it will benefit me eventually.
All right, well, that's dope, man. Well, we look forward to that. We'll definitely check in with you more often and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And when the project drops, we'll give you a review, man. But thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you for having me.
All right, dope, man.
I used to play guy, boss, African hip hop blog, Hande.
Yes, y'all. That was my interview with Lil Trix. And that brings this week's podcast to an end, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for streaming. Thank you so much for downloading. Please, if you're listening on iTunes or SoundCloud, don't forget to like and comment. We really appreciate that, especially on iTunes. Don't forget to repost. Don't forget to share with your friends. Just pay it forward, guys. It means so much to us. If you do want to get more news, just hit us up on Twitter. That's at African HHB. Or you can get us on Facebook, African Hip Hop Blog. Our Viber public chat is still wide open. If you want to be a part of it, just let us know. Hit us up on the African Hip Hop Blog or viber.com/AfricanHHB. And don't forget to get hold of me as well at Phil Chard on Twitter. I appreciate your comments and feedback. And that brings this week's episode to an end. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will be back later this week, actually, because we're going to drop 2 episodes this week. Aha!
Tricky. Save me. Woo! I just want a good time with you. Because I get a good vibe from you. But you gotta leave that bullshit at home, baby, we grown. And I thought it'd only be one night, then you spread all of my life. She's way too much of a baddie. She's way too sweet like a mama. Mama told me stay away from her, my baby. 'Cause girls like her. open your eyes, open your eyes. And I saw that fatty behind, you didn't mind. And you made my Johnny go high, Johnny go high. I just want a good time with you. Cause I get a good vibe from you. But you gotta leave that bullshit at home, baby, we wrong. And I thought it'd only be one night, then you spread all of my life. She's way too much of a baddie. She's way too sweet like a mama. Mama told me stay away from her, my baby. Cause girls like her are trouble. Fell in love with a bad bitch, dealing with issues bigger than the asses. You must have thought of me bellboy with your baggage. You must have thought that I wasn't able to manage. It's too much of a good thing, just me and my boo thing. All dirty that you thought she in a Wu-Tang. All sweats, no shirt like Liu Kang. And we kicking it, man, her hair so good she even dribbling. You thought it was over, it's only beginning. Illest women alive, it's pretty sickening. Like a diamond in the sky, I gotta twinkle it. Woo!
Even that I'm a baddie. Saw me on the floor, no waiting, he just grabbed me. I call him daddy. See me do me dirt work, work that senti. Yeah, I like it slow. Give it to me to the moon. Yeah, I got that glow. You ain't gotta sing no more.
She's way too much of a baddie.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
She's way too sweet like a mama.
Play, play, guy, boss, African hip hop blog, handy.